Hatton, you need to come up here and do this. There is a heresy that's crept into the church in the last 50 years, 60 years, and that is when you get saved, there's no trouble. And that's not according to Scripture. Amen. And this song right here, which very seldom you ever any of the new songs don't have, they don't write songs like this no more. And God's people have been deceived about trouble. Amen. Now, if you are a reader of the book, you'll notice that in the New Testament, all of the disciples, every one of them had trouble. And if you're living the kind of life that you should live, you're going to have trouble. Amen. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
That's right.
Going to be trouble. And I'm pretty sure you got a lot of it. And then sometimes you get defeated because you have a lot of trouble. Trouble comes to three sources, but most of the sources is you. We are our number one enemy. Yeah, it took me a while to figure that out, but I think I'm my number one enemy. I'm kind of like that Mission Impossible, you know, in 3 minutes this tape shall self-destruct. Well, most of us are self-destructing as we go through our life. So I want to show you some things this morning about trouble, and there are benefits in trouble. And if you're saved here this morning, God's a giver of trouble in your life. There's no luck in a Christian's life. You belong to Him. The Bible tells us we've been bought with a price. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it's the price is the precious blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're His property. What happens to you, God knows all about it. And what happens to you, don't catch God by surprise. You never go to God in your prayer closet and pray about your troubles that God didn't already know about it. Amen. He not only knows about it, He's concerned about it. And so trouble many times comes to us and to help us to be better rather than bitter. And trouble is not your problem. It's how you handle the trouble. That's your problem. Amen. How you react to it. And if some, probably have some in the building this morning, but if not, you have friends and family members that any kind of trouble, they will freak out. They just need a panic button, you know, about a 1 foot round red panic button on the wall there in the house so you can push it every time trouble comes. And women are worse than men. Amen, they do. Help me out now. Don't let the rumor get around that I'm against women. I've been married to one 50 years. I'm not against women. I am very truthful because you're emotional beings. Men are logical people. It's just red and white, black and blue. There ain't no gray with a man. If he's a real man, now you've got some of these little sissy fellows that, you know, they're emotional wrecks, but. Amen. But women are emotional beings, and they will push the button on you. And my wife is a what-if-er. I was packing coming up here, which I left about half stuff I was supposed to bring, so I'd probably do better shoe pack. Got up this morning, I didn't have no belts. I didn't bring none of my belts, but I had an old work belt I wear, so I got it on. But she said, well, I think it's Brother Jack Wood's wife on. She said, she packed for him. I said, honey, if you packed for me, I'd have to have a tractor and trailer to get it. Women pack like that. I mean, what if we get in a snowstorm? What if the car breaks down and there's 3 or 4 inches of ice? And so we got to have 3 or 4 blankets. Then we got to have an emergency pack. So that's a lady. But they still pretty sweet, ain't they? I sure would hate to live my life without mine. All right, look with me, if you would, this morning, Job chapter 3, and some scriptures on trouble. God told us about trouble in our life. Job chapter 3, verse 26. Look at 25 and 26. Job chapter 3, verse 25 and 26. It said, for the thing which I greatly fear is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is coming to me. I apply that to old age, and it has come upon me. He said, I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. And that's just trouble. Look in 5, chapter 5, verse 6, I think it is. 7. Yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. You come into this world, you're going to have trouble. Job 14:1. I'm just trying to, we're supposed to have a title and a text, so I'm getting that out of the way. Sometimes we ain't got to do what we're preaching, but we've got to have them. Amen. Or the brotherhood, pastoral brotherhood will throw us out. Job 14:1. Man that is born of woman, that's every one, is a few days, 70 years, God says a few days, but look, and full of trouble.
Right.
And so I want to show you some things this morning about trouble and some benefits that's found in trouble. Now, you'll find a couple more things here about it. You'll find in Isaiah 55:8-9, where God says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts.
That's right.
So what we need to do as God's people is think like God.
Yeah,
the way you think like God is to know what God says.
Amen.
And the way you weigh your ways, you want your ways lined up with God's ways. And God sends trouble in our life in order to help us. And some of you probably, this young man sitting here, he's talking about his foot broke. Now, you know, the old liberal, charismatic Christian, he'll figure out the curse of God's upon him. God's beating him to death. And then the priest will come along and say, well, you need to give me all your money and your foot will be better and all that kind of stuff. No, that's life.
Yeah.
That's just living. Amen. Well, it says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret thing belongeth unto the Lord our God. So, I want to show you some things about trouble this morning. First of all, trouble should bring correction.
Yeah, amen.
A real, true, spirit-filled child of God will always check up.
Yeah, amen.
You say, well, I don't think, well, then that's good, but I'd always check up.
Yeah, amen.
But many times, God sends trouble to guide and direct us. Sometimes He'll send some problems in our life to get us to pray. It's amazing. We don't see much need to pray when everything's going real good. And then when the bottom falls out, we seem to...
Amen.
I'm guilty.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, I do have a prayer life. I pray every morning. Been doing it for almost 40 years. Every morning. But I'm going to tell you, when my life's full of trouble, that's a totally different prayer life. You kind of set time aside where now you kind of hit and run, you know. Kind of like going through Hardee's down here and get a biscuit. But boy, you let trouble hit. You let that loved one be in that hospital, or you let that baby be sick, or you go to the doctor and get a bad doctor. That prayer life change on the heartbeat. And so it always should bring correction. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:6, if you want to make some notes or turn there, most of you have been in church any length of time. You probably know that by being around Brother Mike. It said, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteth. And you got this crowd that's talking about trouble-free and you should never have trouble. And if you have trouble, you don't have enough faith and this and that. Well, a prime sign, a good sign that God, you belong to God, is the fact that He will chasten you. Just like you do your children. And you correct your children. You don't punish your children. That's what God does to us. He corrects us.
Amen.
And if you punish your child, I don't think you're doing it according to the Bible. Grandma called, you know, whipping and spanking or standing in the corner, which never did work for me. Because I'd usually tear the corner up I was standing in. And but that's correction. And whom the Lord loveth, He chasteth. And so when God sends trouble in your life and things don't kind of get upset and stir it around a little bit in your life, maybe it's God just trying to correct you.
Amen.
Trying to help you. But look what it says in verse 11 there. Let me turn to Hebrews. I got it wrote down here, but let me turn to Hebrews. Look what it says about that in verse 11. Talking about the chastening of God. Let me find it here. Ain't careful. Us preachers trying to teach. Sometimes I taught Sunday school 26 years, but sometimes we get ahead of ourselves. Look what it says in verse 11. Chapter 12. It said, now chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grief seemeth. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby.
Yeah, amen.
And so that was the purpose of chastening, the peaceful fruit. Mm-hmm. You chasten a child, spare the rod, spoil the child. Amen. That's another doctrine that's leaving our churches today, is proper child correction. Mm-hmm. And you see the result of it.
Yeah, amen.
And children, they don't understand it sometimes, is what they're being taught. But you ever corrected your child and then the child wants to get up in your lap? That's the right thing to do.
Amen.
When God chastens you and corrects you,
amen,
what you ought to do is draw nigh to God.
Amen.
David said in Psalms 119, verse 67, he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word.
Amen.
Now, I'll be honest with you. I pastored 32 years, been saved 40 years, preaching 39. Very seldom do I ever see the chastening of God in a Christian's life drawing back to God. They'll make all kind of promises, but very seldom does they ever do. Brother Mike, you stood by the bedside of a Christian, them telling you, I know I'm in here because of God and I ain't doing right. And when they get out, they do not. And I'm going to be at church when I get out. I hardly ever see it. Hardly ever see it. And that shows a bad heart. It shows a heart that has done wandered away from God. Got a situation that we just went through there with a family in my church. Their son, well, he wasn't even supposed to live, and we prayed and fasted and begged God, and God spared him. And he's about 25, 28 years old. Mom and daddy both got out of church since then. Then you got them where God maybe has somebody in there and the church didn't do everything they thought the church ought to do, so they get mad at the church. It's because they're backslidden. They're not right with God. All right, it ought to bring correction. Trouble should bring dependency. Hebrews 4:6. Excuse me, Hebrews 4:16. You know what trouble ought to do in your life? It ought to kick your prayer life up a notch, too.
Yeah.
A Christian that's not really walking with the Lord, trouble usually takes them out, and a lost person, it'll put them in.
Yeah.
Craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. If a person not close to God, when trouble hits, it'll take them out of church. And then I've seen it take lost people and put them in church. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
They don't know their scriptures, don't know their Bible. Trouble should bring dependency. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Right.
So when trouble hits, another benefit of trouble is the fact that you draw nigh to God. You draw close to God. And that throne of grace is something that God only gave the church. Israel didn't have it. The tribulation saints won't have it. Eternity won't have it. It was a place that God gave us. A special place that God gave us to come and pray. In the Old Testament, you had to offer a sacrifice.
Yeah, right.
In order to make peace. And you might, you'd have to, whatever the sacrifice required, you'd have to get it, load it up, and take it throughout, right down. That's why the tabernacle was in the middle of Israel, the 12 tribes. You could do nothing in secret, because here you come down through there, and you got an old goat in the back of your little cart, and you headed down to the tabernacle. And old Jones and Smith and Andrews and Carpenter and all, they standing at the tent door. I wonder what old Joe done there. There you go. That's a sin sacrifice he's got there. They knew what that sacrifice was. I mean, kind of hard to hide an old blatant goat, ain't it? And he's headed off down to the priesthood to get forgiveness of his sins. Ain't God good that he just gave us the throne of grace?
Amen.
You can just, any time you want to, you can just go and get down and, God, I'm sorry I messed up. And
yeah, thank you, Lord.
God, I sure would appreciate some mercy.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Appreciate you helping me, Lord.
Amen.
God, if you don't mind, I sure would like this to be between me and you.
Yeah.
You know, when God reveals that sin, well, you won't get it right.
Yeah.
I was in a meeting in Ohio. A preacher stood up, well-known preacher. Y'all probably don't know him. He stood up. God got a hold of him. He stood up in a camp meeting and confessed everything, including running around with preachers' wives and preachers' daughters here about 25 years ago. Now, you tell me God didn't give him a chance to get that thing right? And gave him a throne of grace, a place he could get it right. I was in a camp meeting. Brother Danny Farley preached, and a woman come down and prayed about an adulterous relationship, and come to find out it was with a preacher. Thing do just get it right.
Amen.
Don't let it hang around you and hang on you to find out one day God just takes the Holy Ghost and punches you. And you can't keep your mouth shut. Conviction gets so heavy. Get the thing right. And I can tell you about 10 or 15 more, but you stay around this thing about 40 years, you get a lot of illustration.
Yeah, right.
I was telling a preacher the other day, it's a wonder if we stayed in this long, much as we know. God, think about God. Think about you. It ain't about me. It's about God.
Amen.
About our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It should bring dependency. It should draw us close to God. Say, preacher, you mess up? Yeah, I mess up. Do I go out and get drunk? No. Do I smoke dope? No. Do I cuss? No. But we all got problems.
Amen.
If you got up this morning and put your pants on just like I did, you got problems. Amen. And so, you know, don't ever look at a man of God and think, well, he ain't got a clue what I'm going through. Chances are he stays in it.
Yeah, right.
My life has been filled with trouble ever since I accepted Christ. Now, trouble with sin, I'm a sinner. I'm a saved sinner. Amen? Do I guard myself? I sure do. Am I careful what I watch? I sure am. Am I careful where I go? Yes, I am. What I read? Yes, I am. But we still have problems. And you do too. So if you're sitting here this morning saying you're not, you probably need to get on down here to altar before I get through. Amen. Paul had a problem. Paul's come in. How many times did Paul have this problem? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul said this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels," talking about the body, "that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Look what he says. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, author of 13 books of the New Testament, called to be apostle to the Gentiles, one of the greatest Christians in the Word of God.
Right.
Jesus Christ was not a Christian. He was a founder of the Christian faith.
Amen.
Christians means followers of Christ.
Amen.
I am a firm believer that just because you're saved don't make you a Christian.
That's right.
You're just saved.
That's right.
The Bible says they first called Christians in Antioch.
Amen.
Well, evidently they noticed how they was living. They said, that's that bunch of Christians. That's them followers of Christ.
Yes, sir.
And I know that's a little strange doctrine, but too many people just holler, "I'm a Christian." No, you're saved.
Yeah, right.
And thank God you're saved. But they probably got some Christians in this church.
Amen, brother.
I'm a Christian.
Amen.
Brother Mike's a Christian. Been around him enough. Know he's a Christian.
Amen.
Amen. Why? We follow the teachings of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul had a problem, though. He said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." I believe that's some problems right there. And he goes on there to list them, and shipwrecked, and beaten, and put in prison, and jailed, and the cares of the church. Then in 17 there, he said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory." So, it ought to bring dependency.
Yes.
You know how Paul got through those troubles? He kept his eyes on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? So, another benefit of trouble is simply dependence. Another benefit of trouble, it will help you produce a testimony in order to help others. Look in 2 Corinthians. I got a hold of this several years ago, and I know there's some heartbreak right here in this church, there in every church I go to. And I know some of you probably buried your babies. Some of you buried your mamas and daddies that you loved. But let me show you something right here that I found out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. That's 1 Corinthians. You know, God sometimes just gives us troubles so we'll be able to minister. Some of you right here, you've been through divorce. But none of your fault. But you know what you can do now? You can sit down by that young man or young woman and say, it'll be all right. Well, you done been through it. It was hard. You thought you'd never see the light of day. You thought your heart was broke to the point it'd never be healed. And you really thought you'd never love nobody else. But you got over it. Let me say this, you got past it. There's some things happen in our life we don't get over. But we can get past it. Amen. But look what it says here. In chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. Mm-hmm. Now look why. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Mm-hmm. So when trouble hits us, and trouble hits our lives, our families, our homes, if we'll stay with the Lord and just hang in there, you might not be able to do nothing except hang on.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah, right.
But then there'll come a time where if you stay with God, God will allow you to comfort someone going through the same thing.
That's right.
Go through a bad case of cancer. I got a sister-in-law had 4 rounds of cancer. She's 39 when she got her first one. She's 65 now. She's had 4 rounds of cancer. She's in this cancer support group. She talks to women all over the country and visits those meetings, and she's going to Colorado. I don't know when, some big cancer survivor meeting out there. But she can counter. She's won a lot of them to the Lord when they get those diagnoses. And sometimes we go through things. I've been through a lot of medical problems. You know what I can do? I can sit down and tell an old boy, it'll be all right. But the other day, he had open heart surgery, and I said, right now you think you're dying, don't you? And anybody in here had open heart surgery? Well, Lord, I'm a rare breed, ain't I? All right. But I was talking to him, and about 3 days out, I said, you ain't going to ever let him cut on you again. He's no sir, I'll die first. I said, you'll get over it. And I said, right now you can't move, you can't walk, you can't breathe, you can't do nothing. I said, but it'll be all right. Amen. And just a lot of trouble, a lot of heartaches. But God sometimes, now God don't cause that. That is just life. You know, I don't know what causes heart trouble. I went about January was a year ago, and they done an EKG on me and told me I had a hole in my heart. So I had to go into the hospital, let them go down my throat and take a picture from the back of my heart. And they come out and said, yeah, well, we can't find one. I said, probably what you seen in there was a crack. I've had that broke quite a few times. It's probably just bad crack you found. Amen. But God does that or allows that in our lives that we'd be able to comfort other folks. Some of you lost your jobs. Somebody else slide up by you and say, bro, it'll be all right. I know it's hard, but it'll be all right. Some of you lost your homes, probably. Mm-hmm. Amen. Some of your kids went haywire on you.
Yeah.
So I don't understand it. Raise them right here in church. Mm-hmm. Don't understand it either. I got 2 out and 2 in. All of them raised in church. Mm-hmm. Went to all the youth camps.
Yeah.
Sat down with some of the best preachers in this country. Remit? No, I don't understand that. But train up a child in the way he should go, and he's old, shall not depart from it. So you just hang in there, stay with God.
Yeah.
Pray for him. Keep the door open.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do.
Right.
Keep the door open. Mm-hmm. Well, I never talk to him again. Well, I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. I'd talk to him and be on my terms, though. The rules ain't changed. You welcome back anytime you want to live by the rules, but the rules ain't changed. Amen. And some of you had never had one, and praise God for that. Amen. But it always should produce, trouble should always produce a testimony that you be able to minister to others. Paul, when he was in prison in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, he said, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel." In other words, I am in prison, but this is helping the cause. Persecution always helps a cause. Always. Amen? The civil rights, persecution. What brought it to where it was? George Wallace stood in the door of the University of Alabama in 1961-62. One of the greatest things ever done for integration. He said that later. Persecution. Church gets persecuted, it'll grow.
That's right.
When we have to really start living what we believe in, it'll help the church.
Yeah, amen.
Church grows strong.
Yes, sir.
And the ones that here, the ones that stay, they mean business. And I personally believe we're going to be in that. I really do. I think if we live long enough, or some of y'all, I might be on out of here. But some of you younger folks, you're going to have to take a stand what you believe.
Amen.
If Hillary would have won, you would have really had to take a stand what you believe.
Right.
Amen. But that thing was snowballing pretty bad. If trouble has helped you draw nigh to God, you need to thank God for it.
Yes, sir.
If trouble has made heaven a little sweeter.
Yeah.
When trouble comes, heaven gets real sweet.
Mm-hmm.
When your heart's been broke and that bad doctor visit, that financial troubles, come quickly, Lord Jesus, will be your main prayer. Amen. Talk about trouble. I got up Friday morning, I tell him, Brother Mike, this, and I had to run over to Brother Linton Smith's house. He's in China. He's in bad shape, and he's got to try to fly home the 7th. But I run over there, and I'm fixing to build me a shop, and I'm looking at his carport thing backing out of his driveway with my tailgate down on my truck backed into a tree. $650 for a tailgate. God did bless me, though. I was able to find a white one. Now, I'm over there helping him, or helping his house, to get him ready to come home. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why would God let me back into a tree? God ain't got nothing to do with my backing up.
Yeah.
That's why I got a steering wheel on it and a mirror.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the old liberal Christian, old backslidden Christian would have hopped out and God this and God didn't do this. You ever come to church, and I know you have, and somebody couldn't make it because the devil flattened their tire?
Yeah.
You ever heard that? No, devil didn't flatten your tire.
Yeah.
Amen? Surely nobody in here says that. Well, I got up this morning and the devil, my battery, the devil had killed my battery so I couldn't get to church. No, you left the dome light on.
Yeah.
Well, I was out of gas and I couldn't get out of the driveway. Well, you didn't check your gas, you know.
Yeah.
And the devil gets more glory than we should give him.
Yeah.
He really does. Testimony service around church, if you're not careful, the devil gets more praise than God.
Right.
And that shouldn't be like that either.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I refuse to give him any praise, any recognition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm, like I said, I am my worst enemy. I was the one that was looking out the front, admiring the thing, and maybe I could build one like this, and backed into a pine tree on the side of the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
So, ain't everybody can get up and spend $650 before 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Amen. So, but God didn't do it. God didn't, devil didn't flatten your tire. You've been running it on with 20 pound of air for the last 3 years, and God had mercy on you, and it didn't hurt you. Didn't roll that minivan with all them kids in it. Yeah. Amen. Alrighty. Trouble should bring spiritual maturity. Lord, help you grow. God's plan for us from the day of salvation is to be conformed to the image of His Son. Jesus Christ suffered persecution. Jesus Christ suffered trouble. From the very day He was born, they sought to kill Him. Amen. His Joseph and Mary had to go to Egypt. And so if we're to live a trouble-free life, why didn't He have one? Amen. The reason the average Christian don't deal with trouble today is because they don't, nobody even know they're Christian. They're undercover agents for God. They CIA. You know, they go out of this church and go out in the community, and they're working undercover everywhere. You know, nobody knows they're Christians. They're trying to sneak up on the devil or something. You don't witness at the workplace. You don't witness to your family. Amen. You'll lay out a church on Sunday for some family member meeting or fellowship or reunion instead of telling them, no, I'm a Christian. I go to church on Sunday. They can have them things on Saturday. But that lost family member don't want to miss his fishing or hunting trip, so he has it on Sunday and competes with your God. And what you need to do is say, I love you, and this is what I've done with my family, and still do. We don't do it on Sunday. I go to church on Sunday.
Amen.
And it's them competing. But you still do it, most of you. Ain't Sue don't love your God, and Ain't Sue don't love nothing about you or the way you're raising your children or the way your marriage is set up, but yet you'll lay out on God to go visit. And then you'll put your family member's name on your prayer list here, and then when they come to town, you lay out a church, spend the day with them. A little hypocritical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm a pastor at heart now, so that's why I preach to you like a pastor.
Amen.
I ain't no fancy evangelist come in with two or three juiced up messages.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. We learn patience through trouble according to James chapter 1, verse 4. It says this, but let patience have her perfect work that ye may be perfect. So we learn patience. When trouble comes, 9 out of 10 times, God's trying to teach us patience. And patience is when you can't do nothing but wait. Drives me crazy. I got caught in traffic coming up here west of Atlanta for an hour. Bumper to bumper. Move, 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 move. So what do you do? I had to learn patience. To learn it? I don't think so, because it still aggravates me to have to wait on anything. Yeah. But trouble will do that. Say some of you sitting here this morning, you got things going on in your life you can't do a thing about. Not one thing can you do about. Except pray. Get up every morning. Hope that things get better. Amen? Anything where you can do about it. He said, well, if God's who God says He is, why am I having to deal with this? Just teach you the patience. We need patience. Fast food restaurants, drive-thrus. God help if they tell you got to pull over there while they fix them 27 hamburgers you order. Don't that bother you?
Yeah,
it does. I was raised in a generation that when you went to a little old cafe to get a hamburger, they had to cook the hamburger. I mean, they actually got it out, patted the meat out, and cooked it. And it was 10 times better than these things you get at these drive-thru restaurants. When you went in, you had to plan at least an hour to just get a hamburger and order fries, because they peeled the potato, cut the fries up, and fried them. Remember that? But our world was a lot better than it was today. Trouble causes patience in trouble. When trouble comes, it'll teach you patience. You just have to wait. You have to wait on God to do something. And you say, I don't like it. I don't like it either. Drive me nuts. I'm a get-her-done guy. Amen. And I want it, you know, God, I want patience. I want them now. That's most of us' prayer life, ain't it? Well, let us run this race with patience. See, patience in our personal life will help us endure this thing that God comes. Get up every morning, do what we're supposed to do, and go to bed at night. 30, 40, 50 years, 100 years, the Lord's coming. And I believe the Lord's coming real close. I really do. Our added trouble should bring God's glory on us. When trouble comes and how you react to it, be whether or not God gets the glory for it. Look in 1 Peter 4. Whatsoever thou doest, whether thou eat or drink or whatsoever, do all to the glory of God. Everything in your life ought to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. You realize we don't have the privilege of showing out when our order ain't right at Hardee's? When you go in a restaurant and things ain't just like you thought they ought to be because your mama ain't working there that day. Amen. And they see you bow your head and ask a blessing over the food and yet you're just a pain in the rear end. And you harass that little old waitress that's probably having to work, support her family. And then you get up and leave a dollar tip in a tract. And invite her to church.
You're right.
Don't understand why she didn't come.
Yeah.
I preached for a fellow over in Kentucky, and most obnoxious preacher ever been around my life. This ain't been, well, I ain't going to call his name. Well, I will, but I ain't. Well, he's been in this town for 20 years, he's got 15 or 16 folks, and he keeps asking me why I want his church to grow. Well, his church ain't growing because of him. He's in a town of about 5,000, probably about the size of this town. And he's just an obnoxious person. We go to Burger King one night. He had five or six boys. Went to Burger King one night after service, and they've given out them little toys with their meals. Well, he begins to lecture the people that's giving them out that he don't let his kids have that junk, and I mean just on and on and on. Take the little 2-cent toy, put it in the bag. When you get through, put the bag in the garbage and keep your mouth shut. And then that gospel track and that invite that you gave to come down to the revival might work. About 10 minutes to 10 after service one night, he said, "You want to go to Cracker Barrel and get something to eat?" And I said, "Yeah, that's okay." Well, in our town, Cracker Barrel closes at 10, but I'm thinking, well, up there maybe they stay open later. We get in and get seated, and about 10:15, I notice ain't nobody in Cracker Barrel except us. And the workers leaned up against the door waiting on us to get through eating. Next night, and I told him, I said, "Brother, what time?" He said, 10 o'clock. He said, "But they'll wait on you." And they will. Next night, same thing, about 9:55. "You want to go to Cracker Barrel?" I said, "No, they close at 10. He said, "They'll wait." I said, "They won't wait on me, because I ain't going."
Amen.
Amen. Your life should bring glory.
Amen.
The way your house looks ought to bring glory. The way your yard looks. Don't put a scripture sign and look like they had a party and nobody went home. Amen. I'm helping you. He knows who I am, and he invited me in here to preach. I'm trying to help you. I think your yard ought to look nice. I realize you can't sod it and all that. People talk about pulling the weeds out of the yard. If I pull the weeds out, I wouldn't have nothing left. That's all I got, weeds. But I do cut it. Amen. Put a little water on it. Because I don't think you'll stick a scripture sign out in the front yard, and it looks like a junkyard because of the people buying, trying to buy parts off of them old cars jacked up out there.
Amen.
I've seen people have 2 acres, all about acre and a half behind the house, but everything they owned in front of the house. Amen. Boy, it's getting personal right there, ain't it? Amen. All right, in order to bring glory, look in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Everything you do should bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, Beloved, in verse 12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. The fiery trials, not just trials, these are hard trials. It said, don't think it strange. I don't know about you, but they probably some sitting here this morning when you was lost, drinking, partying, running up and down the road. You and your family was tight, wasn't you? But then you got saved.
Yeah.
And now they think you've lost your mind.
Yeah.
That's what happened with me. When I got saved and started going to church, my parents thought I had lost my ever-loving mind. As long as I was wild and bar hopping and just in and out of jail and all kind of stuff, they thought I was all right.
Yeah.
We had fellowship. But the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, which it did. But look what he told them in verse 13. But rejoice.
Yeah.
When's the last time you shouted about troubles? Persecution. When's the last time your family said, no, we ain't coming to your house on Christmas because you want to do all that praying and asking the blessing and
All
you want to talk about is God. Did you ever run a lap or two and shout that out? That's what it says. Do rejoice. What you got ought to be to the state to where it does bring conviction on people when they're around
Amen.
You. Love your family? Yes, sir. God tells us to love our family.
Yeah.
But when I got saved, a certain standard was set up in my house, and we don't drink, we don't smoke in my house. And we don't cuss at my house. If you sit down at my table, you're going to have to bow your head. I don't care how big a heathen you are. And we're going to ask God and thank God for the food.
Amen.
Now, if you want to endure that, come on over. But if you don't, we'll eat by ourselves and go about our business.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. Do you realize when you're persecuted for Christianity, you're partakers of the suffering of Christ?
Yeah.
That when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceedingly joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy. He tells us to rejoice, and He tells us to be happy.
Yeah, right.
Happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you.
Yeah.
On their part He is even spoken of, but on your part He is glorified.
Yeah.
So, it's hard. I dealt with it quite a bit when I was pastoring, how, well, you know, my family, and since I got saved, we just don't have the same family relationship, and we don't do this and do that. Well, that's a good thing. Because there'd be something wrong with you if you could still go over that bunch of drunks and be comfortable.
Yeah. Right.
And put up with that cursing. There'd be something wrong with your Christianity.
Yeah.
Amen. And that disrespect for your God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, find you a Christian family you can have a holiday with. Some churches, they have their holidays at the church because a lot of the family members has kind of parted from them. Now, we're in the South, and I know that, and everybody's saved down here, and everybody's a Christian, and everybody's that. But they ain't the kind of Christian you are.
Right. Amen.
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 How many times I had my family tell me, well, my mama, boy, she's upset, and she said that they've been a Christian all their life, and they ain't never done this, and they ain't never done that, and they ain't never tried to do this. But if you're in this church, and I know Brother Mike pretty good, and my church, and a lot of churches got around this country, we're different.
Yeah.
We don't only believe it, we try to practice it.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. We don't only believe a young lady ought to dress proper.
Mm-hmm.
We try to practice it.
Amen.
Amen. We don't believe the only that you're not supposed to drink. We don't think you ought to drink anything with alcohol in it.
That's right.
Amen. So it always ought to bring glory. When Stephen was being stoned in Acts chapter 6, he gave glory to God. The 3 Hebrew children, when they were thrown in a fiery furnace, they brought glory to God.
Right.
And in our Christian life, whatever persecution you're going through ought to always bring glory to God. And sometimes trouble does that. The world will look at you, but I'm telling you, when the world takes attention is when you're going through something. When that little wife's up there in that hospital and you got a bad diagnosis or she's having a hard, pretty rough time, them co-workers looking at you. They're going to see how you react. That family's looking at you that you've been bragging about your God.
Yeah.
Amen? They're going to see how you do it. Where's your God at now? Paul said this. He said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. And that's talking about troubles and trials and tribulation. Paul had trouble all his life. He had an eye problem. Timothy had a stomach problem. Amen. An infirmity, sometime God will give them to you. It'll be a thorn in your flesh so he can control you. And then trouble may bring confusion many times. And I read you those in Isaiah 55 and Deuteronomy. And then the last thing, trouble brings eternal victory. So what are you talking about? Heaven gets real sweet when you're living in a lot of trouble. Now, we're living in America, and we're a spoiled generation of Christians in America. But the basic body of the church, the body of Christ, is not in America. It's in these countries where the man got up this morning, or the little woman, and all they're doing is trying to find something to feed them babies today. They don't have a stock of food. Or they got up this morning and their little baby's got something and ain't a doctor within 200 or 300 miles of where they're living. And that little Christian baby of that parent's stomach is swollen because they don't have food. I've been in them little shacks and huts. God, I can't speak this morning. And I've been in them to where they take turns sleeping on a little bed because they all ain't got nothing to sleep on. And so if the man works, he sleeps on a little padded bed at night because he got to get up and go back to work the next morning. See, heaven is sweet to them.
Yeah, right.
You say, what do you preach? You go in them countries. Well, the Filipinos one of them. You get out in them backwoods, you preach about heaven, them people come apart. Second coming of the Lord. The blessed hope.
Yeah.
Amen. They'll shout it out with you. But trouble brings eternal victory. It makes heaven sweeter. It makes heaven more dear. This election we just went through and the condition of our country and where it looked like our country was headed and still might be. Trump ain't proved what he said yet. Politicians are bad about lying. I know y'all, it's hard to believe. But the way you can identify one that's lying, his mouth will be moving.
Right.
Number one identity there. If that mouth's moving, he's lying.
Yeah.
And we still might be in for a ride.
Yeah.
But it was the lesser of the two evils, so, amen.
I
never thought we'd ever see the subject matter in debates. I've been around quite a while. I never, ever thought I'd ever see where our country is. But I tell you what it done to me, it made heaven sweeter. Getting older makes heaven sweeter.
Amen.
It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are you to the point this morning where you can thank God for the troubles and trials going on in your life? The heartaches? Amen. If you ain't, you need to get there this week. But I bowed my head many times and said, God, I sure don't understand what's going on, but I'm gonna stay with you.
Amen.
You know what's going on, and evidently you chose not to show me what's going on. God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to stay with you. And that's advice I give everybody that goes through those hard times and hardships and loses jobs and kids go haywire on them, and sometimes the husband will leave the wife will leave the husband. Thank God the internet now, they can get on there and dig up them old high school sweethearts. You know, 40 years down the road, she don't look the same. And he ain't the hunk he was. He's a hunk all right, but he ain't the hunk he was. Big hunk I'm talking about. And it's happening everywhere. Missionary in Italy. Well, I've got on there, dug up an old high school sweetheart, left him on the field after 25 years with 6 kids. She's dancing in a bar down in Miami now. Amen. Get your head out of the sand. That's what that thing does. Amen. But I hope you got something this morning. Trouble brings eternal victory. And accept trouble as a way of life. Do not ask God to give you trouble that you may draw nigh to Him. Don't ask God to give you patience. There's just certain things you don't pray for. Amen. But it ought to make heaven sweeter this morning. And if you don't have trouble in your life, I trust you don't ever get it. But you will. And it might be these little kids in here this morning, their trouble might be that they got to go to bed at 8 instead of stay up to 9 at 9 on school night. That's a big deal to them.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of you boys here, your trouble is your four-wheel drive, you ain't got to sell them big motors to put on it. Everybody got trouble. And some of you little girls here, your trouble might be that you like that little boy, but he ain't paid a bit of attention to you. Now, us big folks, we got real trouble. Amen? But just hope I helped you this morning. Till the storm passes by, something about troubles, you either in it, you just left it, or you headed to it.
Yeah.
Amen. If you're out of it today, praise God.
Yeah.
Hang on, it's a coming.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, God, for loving us, being good to us. Trust something I said this morning be a help to the church, Father. Thank you for the sweet spirit. Thank you, Brother Mike. You sure been a friend to me, God, and you sure has enjoyed his fellowship through the years. And help us, God, this week, Lord. We want to do something be pleasing to you, not man. God, if there's some folks here need help, maybe some folks here need saving, God, we pray, Father, you touch your hearts. God, thank you for loving us, and I love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Brother Mike.